Now we're on? All right, there we go. So this morning we are observing Ascension Sunday. And Ascension Day is 40 days after the resurrection, which was this past Thursday. And Pentecost then is 50 days after resurrection, so 10 days from when Jesus ascends into heaven. But today we reflect upon the text associated with that ascension, and we heard that passage from the end of Luke. Now, a little bit of Bible study as we begin our time together today. The author of the book of Luke and the book of Acts is the same person. And so we have the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts overlapping a little bit as far as this story of Jesus' ascension into heaven. And Acts gives a little more detail, a little more background or events going on with Jesus ascending, where this part of it, I chose to preach from it today because I like what Jesus is doing with and for the disciples in this moment. We're told in verse 44 that he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." If you remember that story to Emmaus, these words are very similar to what Jesus was doing as he walked with those disciples on that road to Emmaus. They were talking with him and didn't know who he was and saying, well, you wouldn't believe all these things that happened. And they told him, and then Jesus, we're told, began to open up the scriptures to them. This happens earlier in chapter 24 here in Luke. And so again, now with not just those two, but the rest of the disciples, Jesus is once again telling them this story. Now, storytelling is a very ancient thing. Storytelling predates written language. And storytelling, at its most basic understanding and purpose, is about human beings sharing experience, lived experience, with one another. And so they take those stories and they tell them to one another. And we experience story in a lot of ways as Christians, and not as Christians even. They're a part of our life. We have those things of our... We have those things of our lives that we have learned from grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles, and those stories about who our family are that help bring to life what it means to be a part of our families. There are the stories that I remember about my great-grandparents and my great-grandmother that lived to be almost 103, and marveling at her bedside when she was in the nursing home as she shared about having seen the very first automobile ever that came to town. For a child, that was a story that just seemed what, you mean there was a time when there weren't cars? And hearing those stories of my grandparents, of their early marriage and establishing and building up the farm that is still there next to where my parents live, and hearing the stories of my parents' childhood, and all of those stories come to mind and retain and stick with me and help bring to life the lives that they've lived. It helps me to share that experience of their lives. And I do the same with my children and telling them stories. And we tell stories among one another and among friends. And many of you have had that experience. I know there are many of you participating in the Dinners for Six right now. And every time we've done those, prior to my arrival at Central and every time since, when you have those experiences, inevitably I know people will be coming to me and telling me stories about having sat down and gotten to know another couple in the congregation that have also been here for decades that they've just never gotten to know until they participated in these dinners. And it's through those sharing of stories with one another that we get to know. And not only know, but become a part of the other person's story as well. Well, Jesus, in his unraveling of Scripture for the disciples, is reminding them that this ancient story that is a part of their history is also their story lived out in that moment, that their story is becoming inextricably intertwined with his, that you cannot separate their story from Jesus' story anymore. In fact, Jesus' story is one that we find woven throughout Scripture. In the Gospel of John, we have those words that begin that gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The message John wants us to have from that is that Jesus was there in the beginning when God dreamed and thought into existence all that is. And throughout that sweep of history of God's up and down and back and forth relationship with the people of Israel, God is the constant. And it was in that fullness of time that, as John also tells us, that God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that those who believe in, hope in, trust in, rely upon, and love Jesus will have abundant, joy-filled, purposed, intentional, everlasting life. But not just for your own benefit. That life that you receive in Christ is one that is shared and linked to the lives of those around you. It's kind of like that text that we looked at a couple weeks ago when Jesus admonished the disciples. Here it is. Love one another. Love the people sitting around you. Love those that you are right next to. Love those who are a part of this community of faith. And in that story that I'd mentioned with the dinners for six, one of the ways that you're coming to love one another more is by getting to know one another, by allowing your relationships to become intertwined with one another and a part of that same story, that main story that begins with and ends with Jesus. So Jesus tells the disciples, look, Scripture lays all of this out. And it says that Jesus, in a lot of ways, I think, performs a miracle, as he does with us, when it says that he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And then he said to them, what is written about the Messiah is that he's going to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And he says, you are witnesses to these things. Now, witness can have more than one meaning for us. Often we associate witness as the person who has firsthand observational experience of something that has happened. Often we use this in the case of crime or things like that. But it's a person who is present and sees firsthand what happens. And indeed, we can say that that applies to these disciples because they were there. They witnessed the life and the ministry of Jesus. They witnessed his arrest and torture and execution. They witnessed that the tomb was empty. And they witnessed the resurrected Jesus who came and sat and spoke and ate and interacted with them. And he says, you will be my witnesses. You will be the ones that will go forth and share this message. But a witness can also be something that gives evidence to, something that testifies about, not just a verbal testament, but rather it's the actual evidence of itself. And I think sometimes maybe the disciples weren't only the ones who with their own eyes saw and their own minds perceived and tried to comprehend what was happening, but rather the disciples whose lives were forever changed and transformed by Jesus were that living evidence of the power of God to work through his Son Jesus, to bring about a love and a grace that changes lives and changes the world. And so when Jesus says, you are my witnesses, you are the ones who are to go forth and to be the evidence of this gospel, this story of hope and promise and love that I'm proclaiming. And friends, we're a part of that story. We're called to be a faithful witness as well. We weren't there. Our eyes did not witness. We weren't sitting in that room sharing a meal with Jesus. And yet our witness is still strong and important and necessary. Because those first disciples who encountered Jesus and saw and believed and shared that message with others and shared it again and again and again to the point that we have heard that message. We have heard that love not just proclaimed, but we've experienced it lived out. And our lives have been pulled into and woven into that story of Jesus Christ, who came to bring life and love and hope to a world that needed it. So what does it mean for us to be faithful witnesses as well? What does it mean to hear Jesus speak those words to us saying, "You are witnesses of these things"? Friends, you've witnessed it when you were in a hospital bed and someone from this church came and sat with you and talked to you and maybe even prayed with you. You've been a part of it, as some of you have been a part of that process of taking communion and going and sharing that with people who are homebound and not able to get out and be a part of what we do here on a weekly basis. You've been a part of sharing that love when you've prepared a casserole or a salad and brought it to a funeral dinner. How many of you have ever fixed something that's been served here? How many of you have ever cleared a table or poured a cup of water? Many of you have, because I've seen you there. You've been a part of that story of sharing that love with the people when they need it. And when we share that love by going to Vacation Bible School and sitting down and singing songs and telling stories to children or making art projects with pipe cleaners and all other sorts of stuff, we're sharing that love and inviting others to join in and to be a part of this story, the story that Jesus is calling us all to be witnesses to. And he says, "I'm sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city till you've been clothed with power from on high." The Holy Spirit that we'll be discussing more next Sunday is that promise that Jesus is making. That when you're called to be a part of this story, you're not called to do so by your own strength, your own wisdom, your own intelligence, or anything else that makes you the great person that you are. You do it by this Spirit that supercharges that love that God has placed within you already and allows you to use it and to share it and to spread it around in ways that maybe you never thought about before. So friends, you are the witnesses of these things. We're witnesses to the power of the resurrection. We're witnesses to the ability of Jesus Christ to transform and change lives. We're witnesses to the abundance of God's blessings and that Spirit that God pours out that lives within us and around us and through us, that we might be faithful in being the church that God intends to change the world through. Just a small thing, but we get to be a part of it because of that Spirit and because of Jesus, who commissions us to be witnesses on his behalf. Amen.